As Easter people, there are five things that we're going to look at how we can look like Jesus and be his followers. Last week, we talked about being. There's also forgiving, serving, giving, and going. These are the five challenges that we have to be God's people. Last week, we talked about a whole week of being. To first sit back and know that we can rest comfortable in our Lord's love. This week, we spend a week of forgiveness. Now, today, we honor Mother's Day. And the one great thing, if there's any one great thing, that all good mothers do is show forgiveness. Right? I don't know about you, though, but my mother was definitely and is definitely the first parent to lay the thunder down when Pastor Aaron's acting out of line. But you know what? She's always the one I'd go to when I needed to be lifted up. Still today. There is nothing in the world like the unconditional love of a mother, except for God's love. And since I'm not a mother, and nor can I be, to illustrate forgiveness to you, I'd like to take you today on a journey. From couch to temple courts to a modern-day courtroom. Couch to temple courts to a courtroom. So let's take a look at a couch. If you this looks familiar, this is the family couch from the old sitcom Married with Children with Al Bundy. I have a couch up here on a screen as an illustration for you. Couch looks relatively nice. It's got the outdated 70s look to it, but there are no stains that we can see on the outside. Most of you own a couch, maybe, probably better looking than this at your house. And typically, we have very clean couches that always look nice. They always look good on the outside because we sit on them. And we even have guests over to sit on our couches. But have you ever taken a moment to flip those cushions over to see what's hiding underneath? Because if you haven't, you've got to prepare yourself physically, spiritually, and maybe even emotionally for those scary things underneath. You might find cookie crumbles. You might find Lego pieces. You might find spare change. You might find some sort of hidden virus not even known to man. I don't even know what's underneath those cushions. You have no idea. A lot of us are like our couches. A lot of us live lives represented by this couch when we try to make ourselves look pretty good on the outside. We're very well put together. No stains on the outside. We even come to church today on a Sunday, and we kind of be like politicians. We hug people, we kiss babies, we shake hands. We even look good on Facebook, online, on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it. But the reality is that we're very much like this couch. If you dig deep down, there is something inside of each of us that's really messy. A lot of us, we like to push this stuff down in those cracks, and we tend to forget that it's there. Or we might come up with a coping mechanism that we can somehow live with the garbage that we hold on to, the junk that's underneath us. We just like to suppress it. Deep inside each person in this room, you might be surprised to know that there is a great deal of hurt, including the guy you're looking at. All of us carry this around. Deep down underneath the cushions, there's a mess, right? Deep down on the inside, many of us are hurting. Many of us are in pain, and maybe your close friends don't even know about it. Maybe your spouse doesn't even know. Many of us are not free because we're held captive to this past. It's like an old couch that we just can't get rid of. We can't donate it to a rummage sale. We keep reliving the mess over and over. If you can't let go of the past, friends, we're here today because you'll never be able to grab hold of the future. Now listen, listen closely. If you are a Jesus follower, and I know you all are, if we call ourselves a Christian, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Jesus did not die on the cross, suffer a brutal death, and then rise from the dead so that you could live the rest of your life as a slave to your sin. God sent his Son to die for you on a cross so that you could know real, real freedom. So you could finally be free from maybe your past. You could be free in the present, and you could go into that future with all the unknowns with a sense of freedom. And you know what? The most amazing stories about Jesus is what we heard today. John chapter 8, because in this story of Scripture, we are going to see that Jesus is going to come to a woman's defense. So now we're moving from this couch to the temple courts. And it's not an actual courtroom, but it's a temple courts. You see, they're bringing an accused woman before Jesus. And Jesus is going to act as not only the defense attorney, but also the judge in this story. And what's unique about this story is, if you go home and look in some of your Bibles at home, what's unique about this story among many others in God's Word is right above this passage in your Bibles, it will say in either bold or italics that the earliest manuscripts of when we compiled the Bible together didn't actually have this story included for some reason. It's interesting. This story has not been in every manuscript of ancient Bibles, possibly because some people think of just how controversial this story really is. That what Jesus does in this story is so scandalous. Check it out. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. He sat down and appeared in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group. Now, at this point, you might be asking, where's the guy, right? Takes two to tango. If she's committing an adulterous act, there's at least two people. Where's the man? They just brought the woman. And Jesus said, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And in the law of Moses, he commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" So far, they're right, because that's what God's word says, besides not bringing that man, of course. The law says in Deuteronomy chapter 22, if a man is found sleeping with another man's wife, both the man who slept with her and the woman must die. You must purge this evil from Israel. You see, they're using this question as a trap, solely to trap Jesus, in order to have some sort of basis for accusing him, because they don't like what he's doing. It's an elaborate plan that they've been hatching for quite a while. Probably the reason the man wasn't brought in with this woman is because the man was even in on it. He might have even been one of those Pharisees standing before the woman. And maybe this woman is a means to an end just to trap Jesus. That's what these Pharisees are doing. They're bringing this woman just to catch Jesus in a difficult situation. And they will catch him in a contradiction in front of all of his followers and his disciples. If Jesus answers, yes, stone her, as the law commands, then that seems to go literally against everything Jesus stands for, what he's been teaching and doing. It just doesn't feel right. Now, if Jesus says, no, don't stone her to death, then he would seem to be as one relaxing on his public morals. He's becoming too wishy-washy. The law is not important to Jesus. So they bring this question that's meant to trap him. But these cunning hypocrites are overmatched, of course, right? Jesus simply bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. I'm guessing these guys are pretty annoyed. When they kept on questioning, they weren't happy with his response. So it says they kept probing. He straightened up and said to them, listen to this. Let any one of you who is without sin to be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. It's fascinating what the Word of God actually includes. I encourage you to really dive into the Bible. There's some really juicy things. There's also some fascination about what is not included. It's one of those big questions, if you're tracking so far, one of the big questions that scholars and pastors have is, what did Jesus write? What did Jesus write there on the ground? What's he scribbling, doodling on the ground? There's a lot of theories. Perhaps simply, Jesus wrote, "Where is the man?" Maybe he even included that man's name in front of all of his friends, because they thought they had the dirt on this woman. Jesus gets down in the dirt. You want to talk about dirt? "I know some things," Jesus says. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. And those red letters say this, "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now, leave your life of sin." The only one that had the ability to hold a rock against this woman dropped it. "Woman, I didn't come to condemn you. I came to save you. I didn't come to declare you guilty. I came to set you free." In fact, a lot of us out there know this passage of Scripture quite well. If you know any Bible passage to memorize, it's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." But do you know what it says in the next verse after this? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came to make right you, each and every one of you." This woman's couch cushions got literally flipped on her in front of everybody. And Jesus said, "I can take that crud. I can take that mess. Don't listen to the lies of these other people. You see, the jury, they're all gone now. You're naysayers. They're out of here. And it's just you and me. I'm declaring you forgiven, set free, innocent, not guilty. Now go and be free. Sin no more." So today, friends, when you follow after Christ, when we live in this world for Jesus finally and forever, we know really well that that enemy, Satan, is powerful. Being a Christian is hard these days. And we will know that the devil will continually shout accusations at us. He will throw and try to throw his rocks at you and remind you of what you did, what you said, and what you didn't do. The devil will remind you, remind you, remind you. And he'll tell you that you're no good. He'll say that you're used goods, that you're just simply washed up, you're burned out, that God could never love even a person like you. Nobody could. Jesus loves you. Every time the enemy tries to remind you, remind him that Jesus didn't condemn you. The only one who had a rock to throw didn't throw it. But he looked at even this woman with eyes of mercy and love. And I want you to know, the next time when the accusations start flying out about how dirty you are, about how worthless you are, about how messed up you are, just go and say to the devil, "Yeah, I'm messed up. But God got down in my dirt. He forgave my sins. He wiped them clean, and he didn't condemn me." Because he didn't condemn the world. but to change the world. He came to save the world. And so you got to drop your rock, devil, because I'm already forgiven. I'm already loved. Drop your rock, devil. I've got a Savior staring me in the eyes, telling me to sin no more. You see, there's mercy in that mud, in your mud. And for every dirty person, unclean person, everybody with some regrets, every lost person, every broken person, I want you to know. I want you to know that God stoops down and He raises you up high. And if He raises you up, there ain't no person, there ain't no devil that's going to bring you down. And so we move from the couch to the temple courts to a modern day courtroom. Now, I know some of us out there, we've been following on the news this court case about Johnny Depp and his ex-wife. And if you're following it, we know all well, it's a story of just how broken people really are, how we all need forgiveness. But you know this, sometimes court cases get dropped if the person accusing somebody, maybe an officer or a lawyer, doesn't show up. In this case, the enemy, our enemy, doesn't show up in the courtroom of God anymore because Jesus is there. And He's way more powerful. He's already conquered Satan and defeated him. And Jesus walks into that courtroom where all of your life is laid out in front of the world, and He's your defense attorney. And when God, our Heavenly Father, who is the judge, says your name, Jesus declares, not guilty. Jesus was not afraid to get in the dirt for this woman, and I want to tell you that He's not afraid to get even dirtier for you. For when He went up on the cross, extended His arms, and blood came out of every which way, He shed His blood for you on the cross because that was the price and penalty to pay. Only He could do it. And because you know that man, our Lord Jesus, that King, that God, you are free. You are not guilty. Go and sin no more. This week, here are your challenges as forgiven people. Repent of something. Identify those rocks in your life to drop. Name some of those people that you maybe have judged and show mercy. Reach out to maybe somebody that you haven't forgiven yet. Pray for maybe somebody who's hurt you. And finally, identify a sin that you will overcome with the grace of God. Because when you do, we will see Jesus right there as you reflect Him. Amen.